This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
From the man at the helm of the U.S. economy, a warning. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The message from Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell yesterday was unmistakable. No pain, no gain. The Fed raised interest rates by 0.75 percentage point and signaled there will most likely be more economic pain to come as it tries to bring down inflation. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer was at the Fed news conference and joins me now with the details. Hi, Nancy.
Good morning.
So explain the Fed's reasoning in raising rates, and why do we need economic pain to bring down inflation?
The Fed is trying to decrease the demand that's been pushing up prices by raising interest rates so it's more expensive for consumers and businesses to borrow. When they can't borrow, they can't spend as much. But Powell stressed there is no painless way to do this.
Economic pain, though, it's a little abstract. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, the Fed issued projections yesterday, and they show unemployment rising to 4.4% next year and economic growth slowing to an anemic 0.2% this year. And Sabri, Powell did not rule out a recession.
We have always understood that restoring price stability while achieving a relatively modest decline, or rather increase in unemployment and a soft landing would be very challenging. And we don't know. No one knows whether this process will lead to a recession, or if so, how significant that recession would be.
Oh, boy. So what is next? What do we call this? Tough love from the Fed? More of that?
Yes. The Fed's economic projections point to more increases in its benchmark interest rate until it reaches 4.6% next year. And to get there, the Fed would need to raise interest rates more than investors were expecting, maybe another 0.75 percentage point hike at the Fed's next meeting in November.
All right. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
All right. Let's do the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 2 to 3/10% range, with the Dow future up 88 points. 10-year Treasury yield is at 3.534%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
In 2015, the world came together at the UN and set goals for itself to reach by 2030. These were known as the Sustainable Development Goals. Every UN member country agreed to them. They included things like no more poverty, gender equality, clean water and sanitation for all. There were 17 of them. The world is now on track to achieve nearly none of them. Why? Is a more complicated question than one might expect. Melinda French Gates is co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and recently wrote about this in the foundation's Goalkeepers 2022 report, arguing we need to rethink some of our strategies. She joins us now. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So we have these lofty, super lofty goals: zero hunger, quality education, affordable and clean energy. By the UN's own admission, these goals are not being met. The UN emphasizes how disruptive COVID has been to these goals. But you write that blaming COVID alone is a cop-out. Why?
Well, I think we have to look at, first of all, there was incredible progress before COVID. You know, poverty had gone down, malaria deaths had gone down. However, COVID disrupted many, many things. But we weren't going to get there on some of these goals to begin with. Just take gender inequality. Now it's gotten even worse with COVID, but it's because we weren't really investing in some of the root causes on gender. And I think we've realized that now with COVID. Like, if we don't really put this on the front burner and really address the root causes, we're never going to get to gender inequality.
Childcare is one of the ways you point out to sort of free women up from responsibilities that they disproportionately bear in many places. You argue there is an economic incentive for society to provide help with childcare. Can you explain that?
Sure. So a woman spends over half of her time on unpaid labor, and that's often childcare if she has a child in the home. Sometimes it's elderly care. That is care that, you know, part of it she wants to do. It's the loving care we do, but a lot of it is chores and work. And so if we have good childcare policies so that women can have help with that and their husbands take a little bit or their partner a little bit more responsibility, then we free them up to be able to do the things they want to do in the workforce. And that contributes overall to our economy. So it's a good thing both for the family and for her income and for the economy at large.
Let's shift gears real quick and talk about rethinking hunger. 30% of Africa's crops are going to be grown in climate conditions that will significantly reduce how well they grow, their yield. This is on a continent that imports most of its food, nearly three quarters of its grain. How do you solve that? How do you rethink that?
You make sure that they have the seeds that they're asking for, seeds that are pest resistant for their specific areas, and seeds that are flood resistant. The rains are coming at different times, and when they come, they're coming in deluge. Those seeds are being created with African input and they exist. But then we also need to make sure that we have the seed system working and the agri-dealers so that they're also reaching women. Half of the farmers in Africa are women. But if we just put the seeds through the normal system, they're going to reach half the farmers, which are the men, and not reach the women. So that specific programming we have to do as well.
You know, it's easy. I think it's easy for people to be cynical about giant goals like, you know, no more poverty. Just think that's too big. It's not really solvable. Are there examples of big goals you can point a skeptic to that the world has met in our lifetimes?
Well, in our lifetimes, we have eradicated smallpox. It's a disease that if you go back just one generation, people remember people who had smallpox. You even see, you know, pox marks on people's faces. We don't have that anymore anywhere in the world. We eradicated that disease. So it is possible when the global community comes together and says, we're going to get rid of this, to actually do it.
Melinda French Gates is co-chair of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.